class man who can understand God, that is missing at the present moment. The first class man who can understand God, that is missing. That means head is missing. Head is missing. If the head is, brain is cracked, then in spite of having the hands and legs and belly, the situation becomes confused. So at the present moment, the first class man who can understand God, who can speak about God, the science of God, that is missing. As well as the arm, a real kshatriya, who can give protection. Here also people are taking in parts in politics. They're the same aim. How can I get some money? That's all. The whole thing is Shudra. Shudra's business is do something and get money. That's all. Finish. That is Shudra's business.
What do you think has gone wrong with these supposedly intelligent people who should be concerned with God's business but are not? Why have they lost it?
Where is the intelligent people? They do not understand even what is virtue and sin. They do not understand. So where is the intelligent person? They are thinking everything is all right. But the nature does not say so. The nature says, this is good for you, this is bad for you. But they do not know it. Where is Pandit Mahasaya? Call.
He is in London.
Oh. Who can read Bhagavad Gita? Find out the verse. Pravittincha nivittincha nabidu asura jana.
This is very good.
Pravitti. VRI, TTI. In the 16th chapter.
Those who are demonic do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor proper behavior nor truth is found in them.
They do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. And none?
Neither cleanliness nor proper behavior.
No
truth is found in them.
This is the general division. Fourth class, fifth class men, demonic. Then?
People? In every civilized human society, there is some set of scriptural rules and regulations which are followed from the beginning, especially among the Aryans, those who adopt the Vedic civilization and who are known as the most advanced civilized peoples.
In a civilized man, there is such thing, do and do not. even in ordinary dealing, keep to the right or keep to the left. That means the other side, you do not go. Ordinary. So, where that must be discipline, law and order, that must be these two things. Do this, do not do this. Otherwise it is not civilized. Now, in the Christian Bible, Lord Jesus Christ says, thou shalt not kill. But they are killing, giving some plea. Straight thing is, the order is, thou shalt not kill. But they are killing. In spite of, and ordinarily, one does not know whether killing is good or bad. But even there is an instruction, don't kill, they do it.
Some of them do not.
Huh?
There are some who do not, still.
Some there must be.
But not many.
But general people, they do not know even what is wrong by killing. This is fourth class, fifth class man. They do not know what is the reaction of killing.
Reaction?
Yes, there must be reaction. Because by nature's law, just like you are living, I am living. Oh, you are eating, I am also eating. So both of us have got the right to live. So how can I kill you?
You could... Sometimes people kill each other because, not because they want to kill, but because there are some other reasons.
Then it is ignorance. You must know.
Yeah.
Why you are killing? You cannot kill.
But occasionally, if one person is killing some others, then it's occasionally felt to be justified to kill the person who's doing the killing, or to overthrow a tyrant.
If there is justification, that is another thing.
Well, nearly everybody feels that killing is justified. Very few people kill wantonly. They will always give a reason for it, and especially
no,
in war.
They must give good reason. Simply, I want to kill, therefore I must kill. That is not a very good reason.
No. But people don't usually say
that. They give this reason. That I want to eat. So I must kill. That is tiger's reason. Tiger says, tiger, by nature, he has to kill. So, there is no wrong part, nothing wrong in his part, by if he kills, because by nature he is mad. But where a man should kill, unless the other party is wrong, aggressor, he is coming to kill you, we cannot kill even the tiger. But if the tiger comes in the city and creates disturbance, he must kill. But there is no business going to the forest and killing. Why? He is living in his jurisdiction. Why shall encroach upon his jurisdiction? But people go in the forest and kill so many birds and animals, unnecessarily. This is going on. Therefore, as it is stated, that they do not know what is right and what is wrong. This is the modern civilization.
But who does know?
Huh?
Who does know?
We know. We know.
Yeah? You sure?
That is all. A special qualification. And we are teaching this philosophy to our students. This is the special contribution of this Krishna consciousness movement. We know what is what. Yes. Therefore, we are inviting persons to know this art, how to distinguish what to do and what not to do. This is our business.
How do you find out?
Here is the book. Here is the book.
That's the book.
Yeah. Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. Mm. Everything is there.
Well, this seems to be a different version. I read a very small one when many years ago. But this seems to be rather
large. No, that is only, you might have seen only the original verses.
Mm.
Here there is the explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The original verses here.
I once, in fact, was at a course on the Gita. I went to a course, on, but that was many years ago. I was very young, so I've forgotten that. I used to be in a theosophical movement, which is, has some relation, some related ideas, because its origin is in Indian philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
So I know a little about the Gita, but...
Go on, Dini.
Those who do not follow the scriptural injunctions are supposed to be demons. Therefore, it is stated here that the demons do not know the scriptural rules, nor do they have any inclination to follow them. Most of them do not know them, and even if some of them know, they have not the tendency to follow them.
Yeah. These are demons. If you are professing some religion, when the religion says that you do not do this, then if you act against the scripture, then you are a demon. Just like if one does not act according to the law of the state, he is outlaw. But these things are not taken very seriously at the present moment.
That's true.
They take it, they are saying so many things. It doesn't matter, let us enjoy life. This is demon. And therefore you find all over the world so much confusion. Because the number of demons have increased.
What do you think people who are not in the Krishna consciousness movement should do? I mean, should they join the movement, or is there a specialization? So there are some people who do what you're doing.
No, everyone should join. Everyone should join.
Yeah.
Mm. Everyone should join. What do you understand by Krishna consciousness? What is your idea?
I don't know. I come to
Krishna
find out.
Krishna consciousness means God consciousness. Krishna means God. So if one is not God conscious, he must be a demon.
But there are, the trouble is, the phrase is too vague. So there are thousands of groups having the same sort of phrase, you see. Talking about God consciousness, you must have both.
Then you have to see. That's why you go to purchase something in the market. There are thousands of varieties. But the intelligent man can pick up the nice one.
You think it's just one nice one?
Huh? Yes.
Mm.
Then God is one. Therefore God consciousness must be one.
But
do you think God, there are many gods?
God has many forms.
Huh?
God has many forms.
So. That is another thing. Just like you are Mr. Such and Such. Mm. You may dress in a different way. But in whichever way you dress, you are Mr. Such and Such. Similarly, God may have many forms, we also admit that. But God is one. God cannot be many. That is stated in the Vedic literature. Advaita Achyuta Anadi Ananta Rupam. Ananta Rupam. God can expand. We are also expansion of God. We, living entities, we are also expansion of God. The tree is also expansion of God. The germ is also expansion of God. So everything is expansion of God. That is pure understanding of God. But who is understanding in that way? They are seeing differently. Oh, here is a man, here is a dog, here is a cat, here is a tree. Who is seeing that everyone is expansion of God? Then if I think that everyone is expansion of God, then if I want to kill you, I must take sanction from God. So it is a great science. People are neglecting. They are not interested. Whenever we speak of God, they think they are talking something utopian. God is there, kingdom of God is there, one can go there. How one can be qualified? These things they are not interested at all. Therefore, they are fourth class, fifth class men. So, how you can be peaceful with fourth class, fifth class men?
Can people change themselves from being fourth class to third class and so on? Can people change themselves?
Oh, yeah. That is the Krishna consciousness movement. We can train from the 10th class man to the 1st class man. This is Krishna consciousness. What to speak of 4th class, 5th class? Any lowest class. G.P. su papa jona. Find out this verse. Man hi paatha papasita. Somebody must speak quick. Māṁ hi pārtha vipāsritya jīpīṣu pāpajūna māṁ, amen, māṁ hi pārtha vipāsritya.
Māṁ hi pārtha
vipāsritya.
Jīpīṣu pāpajūna ya striyo Vaisyas tata sudras, tepi yanti param gatim. O son of Krishna, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, merchants, as well as sudras, workers, can approach the supreme destination.
Yes.
So women as well?
Yeah, yes. Women, because they are less intelligent.
Women?
Yes. You do not know that?
No, I didn't know that, no. I'm quite surprised to hear it.
But it doesn't matter. If one takes the Krishna consciousness, he can be elevated. Doesn't it? Read the purport.
It is clearly declared here by the Supreme Lord that in devotional service there is no distinction between the lower or higher classes of people. In the material conception of life there are such divisions. For a person engaged in transcendental devotional service to the Lord, there are not. Everyone is eligible for the supreme destination. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated that even the lowest, who are called chandalas, dog-eaters, can be elevated by association with a pure devotee. Therefore, devotional service and guidance of a pure devotee are so strong that there is no discrimination between the lower and higher classes of men. Anyone can take to it. The most simple man, taking center of the pure devotee, can be purified by proper guidance. According to the different modes of material nature, men are classified in the mode of goodness, brahmanas,
the mode of passion, kshatriyas or administrators, the mixed modes of passion and ignorance, vaishyas or merchants, and the mode of ignorance, sudras or workers. Those lower than them are called chandalas, and they are born in sinful families. Generally, those who are born in sinful families are not accepted by the higher classes, but the process of devotional service and the pure devotee of the Supreme God are so strong that all the lower classes can attain the highest perfection of life. This is possible only when one takes center of Krishna. One has to take center completely of Krishna, then one can become much greater than great jnanis and yogis.
Materially, there is such division.
Yes.
But when they take to spiritual platform, there is no such distinction. I mean, they work on spiritual platform.
Should they? Can they do that in ordinary life, or do they have to go in an institution?
Yes, any ordinary life. Hmm. Any ordinary life.
What is the function of the ashram then?
Ashram means to teach. Sakarmana tamabhaccha samsiddhi labhate na. That's why sakarmana. SVA.
Sva. Yena sarvam idam tatam sva karmana tam abhyarcha siddhim vindanti manava. By worship of the Lord, one who is the source of all beings and who is all-pervading, man can, in the performance of his own duty, attain perfection.
Simply he has to know how to do.
And it's very simple. Yeah? Yeah, that's the story I've heard. Yeah.
Therefore we can claim anyone from any position. If he agrees to abide by our regulative principle, then he can. That is not difficult. That is being happy, actually. All my students ask them what was their previous life and what is the life now. They explain. A healthy person recovered from disease, he can very well understand that what I was in my disease condition and what I am now. It doesn't require to take certificate from others. He can personally understand, yes. I was like this, now I am like this. You can talk with any one of our students, boys or girls. They'll convince you. Yes. They've been trained.
I'm surprised that...
For example, in America, government is using, spending millions and millions of dollars how to check LSD. But the same LSD man, as soon as he comes to our camp, he gives up completely. This is practical.
Yeah, I've heard that.
They will hate to touch LSD. It is so perfect. So every thoughtful man, every philanthropist must study this philosophy very seriously and try to spread it with all benefit activities for the human society.
Is it, when you say it's very simple?
It's very simple, simpler than the simple.
It would change your life, but does it require a great visible change? I mean, do you have to change your life in the sense of that you actually do different things? You say in the ordinary performance of your duty, you can still attain the consciousness.
That's right. Yeah. Expand.
Yes, well, you can go on being a student, you can go on being a householder, you can go on being a professional man, you can do all these prescribed duties, and still you can go on becoming Krishna conscious too.
But there are degrees of it, so it's simple, but yet...
It's a practical application in daily life, day-to-day life.
But then does that take a long time, a lot of training?
No, it doesn't take so much training.
Then what's the purpose of degrees of initiation? That if it's just a one
thing... Well, that's something different. If you want to take seriously,
yeah.
Then you can become initiated.
And what's the function of that?
The function is that you accept the spiritual master as a wonderful representative of God, and that you take the rules and regulations very seriously, and you abide by these rules and regulations. There are rules and regulations in every ashram, in every temple. Just like, for instance, if you decided you'd like to stay here, so it'd be expected that you follow four basic rules: no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex life, and no idle sports, no gambling, no betting. See? And taking part in the day-to-day routine of rising early, bathing, attending the services, and helping to maintain the ashram by working, or by engaging in some particular duty that you would like to do. By writing, you can do this. If you have this vocation to write, then you supply your own office, you supply with typewriter, paper, and you can write so many nice articles about Krishna. Therefore, you're dovetailing whatever you've experienced in the material world and whatever you've understood from the Shastra, from the scripture. See, you're benefiting yourself and you're benefiting your fellow man also.
That's the ashram life. But in the ordinary world, in a way which is what I'm interested in. I'm interested in the influence of Krishna consciousness in the ordinary world and how it would change people's relationships and how it would change
things. Well, all we simply ask is to chant Hare Krishna, to spend a few minutes, sometime in the day, in the morning or in the evening, just to sit down and chant Hare Krishna, and gradually take on these rules and regulations.
We actually say chant Hare Krishna always.
Why? How does that have such a strange effect?
Huh?
Why does that have such a strange effect?
Why does it have such a strong effect chanting Hare Krishna?
As you can see.
Okay, I try it and see. I mean, it's something very simple that one could do.
Yeah, very simple.
Yes.
It's certainly very simple. And so then the world could be changed very nicely and without any very complicated changes.
For example, the best example, most practical example is, for instance, George Harrison, whom you must know. He has given this house for our propagating Krishna consciousness. He himself is singing about Krishna. So he's a singer. Before he was singing something, now he's singing something. So it's simply changed to Krishna. The singing is there, the music is there, the record is there, the audience is there. Simply the consciousness, or the object of the song, is Krishna.
Mm.
So just like you are a scientist, or So you use your knowledge to systematically present Krishna.
But there's a difference between presenting an idea, which is about Krishna, and ideas.
It is not an idea, it is fact.
Yes.
Well, some idea which is more complicated than just the word. I'm surprised that just the chanting of the word will be so significant.
Because the philosophy or the understanding is that the sound, Krishna, the sound of the name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, there's no difference. This is the meaning of absolute. Absolute means there's no difference between the name, the thing, its quality. In this world, your name, and yourself,
in the physical world, from the sound, everything has come. From the sound, the air has come, from air the fire has come. From fire, water has come, from water, earth has come.
But the puzzle is that by how the world could be made better and people could be made to change by this simple procedure.
Have to understand what is the aim of this world? Why such big cosmic creation is there? What is the purpose?
That's a very it's a very important question to ask.
They do not know that.
But do you know it?
Yes.
That's remarkable.
Mm. We know it. What is the purpose of this big creation? We know it. We know everything perfectly. That is our special qualification.
How do you think that there are so many other people that think they also know? How did they go wrong?
We are thinking part of, partially. They do not know the right way. Just like a train is going on. So in the middle station, you get on a train. Now move. If you think that movement is began from here, that is wrong. The movement has begun right from this train has started. That is right knowledge. But if a child will think, now you have got the train, it is moving now. That is not perfect knowledge. The moving is fact, but the knowledge is not fact. So the modern so-called scientists, they capture something in the middle. They do not know what is the beginning. And they are simply theorizing. No perfect knowledge.
That's I can believe that very readily.
Yes.
Very difficult.
So they have no perfect knowledge. Still they are taking the place of a teacher. So others must be misled. If you have no perfect knowledge on a subject matter, I mean, if you become a teacher of that subject matter, will you not mislead others? That is going on.
Certainly.
They are taking big Nobel Prize by theorizing that life has begun from matter. Totally wrong. But they are getting Nobel Prize. Fool's paradise. Sabai is Sabir Baraho Stakkarai Sangstuta Purusha Pasu. Animals, big animals. Suppose a lion roars, a small animal thinks, oh, he is a big thing. He does not know that he is animal, nothing but animal. Is it not? So, this class of Nobel Prize winner is just like a big animal praised by other small animals. Both of them are animals. Otherwise, how they can cheat people putting some wrong theory? But this is going on. He is getting Nobel Prize. Wherever he goes, he gets good audience. He is talking all nonsense. We can understand that he is a fool. He is talking something intelligent. It was challenged. One, some professor in California University, not his professor, he came from outside, the Nobel Prize winner. He has, perhaps you may know, evolution of chemicals. He is theorizing this. So, his lecture began, the life has begun from these four chemicals. So in that university, there is a my disciple who is also doctor in chemistry. So he challenged him, suppose if I give you these four chemicals, can you manufacture life? So he replied, that I cannot say. What is this? Then why you are theorizing like this nonsense? This is why. Just like Darwin's theory. He said, the man has come from monkey. But not a single monkey up till now has produced any man. Neither scientifically they can inject a monkey to produce another man. Still this theory is going on.
It could have taken a long time.
Huh?
It might have taken a long time to happen.
Why it should take? If it is actually fair, then it is no difficult thing to understand. But it is false theory.
You think that kind of evolution?
That is not evolution. Evolution is defined that we have got full knowledge. Evolution means just like I am now living in a house. It will belong to some lord. What is this lord?
Pigot.
Lord Pigot. Now I am Pigot Lord. Pigot is gone. Now it is Bhaktivedanta Mena. So, not that I was in a small cottage, the cottage has evolved to become a big palisade building. Not that. I have come from that cottage to this bigger. That is nonsense Darwin does not know. Not elevation of the cottage to this big house. It is my personal elevation that I was living in a cottage, now I got the chance to live in a palace. I am concerned. But Darwin is thinking the cottage has evolved to become a big house. That is nonsense.
You make it more silly than it really is.
Eh?
It's not quite as silly as that.
What is that?
He says you're making it more silly than it actually is.
No.
You're making Darwin sound a fool. I mean, he might well be wrong, but he had better grounds.
No, that then produced from the body of a monkey, you produce human being. Then you are correct.
Well, it would take
a long time. I don't say that I can turn this cottage into a big palace. I don't say. I am not so poor.
You could, but it would take you
a long time. It is not possible. Cottage is defined, this house is defined.
No, you can change. You can take a cottage and you can gradually add bits. You can put more bricks here. You can start to put windows in. It would take you a long time.
Why shall
gradually
I do that?
It could change.
Why shall I do that? If the palace is already there, why shall I waste my
indeed,
time?
Indeed, why should you? But that it's possible to do it.
No, why not? It is not possible. Cottage is not. You break the cottage and make a palace. That is another thing.
Well, we can, for example,
utilize the ingredients.
You can
change. Not that the cottage has developed into a cottage. It is not that. Matter does not develop in that way.
Well, we can do it ourselves. Those cows you have, that is our challenge. You have a brown cow, you have a black and white cow, and you have a brown and white cow. Now, all those cows came from a single kind of cow, which is a wild cow. And you can make those cows change, you see, to different kinds of cows, some which produce a lot of milk, and some which produce a lot of beef, and some which have big horns and different colours. We can change animals in that way. You can see evolution happening on a small scale like that. So I think it's obviously possible that animals can change. I think you can see it.
I do not think it is possible that you can change a black cow to a white cow. I don't think.
No, not within...
He's talking about breeding. He's talking about breeding.
That is another problem. There is another process. Not that the same black cow has become a white cow.
That's not what Darwin claims, that a monkey becomes a man. He claims that it's a similar process to getting a purebred special cow from a wild cow, that it happens over many generations. There's a change. And he would have supposed that that's the way that people came, or humans.
No, the point is, whether the body of the monkey has changed into the body of human being.
I don't think that ever occurred.
Huh?
I'm sure that doesn't occur. I don't think it could.
But
Darwin's
theory is like that. He is pointing out that this body has changed into this body.
He says it's evolved from a monkey's form with a tail to a human being's form. But this is not according to this knowledge of Venus.
you seem to be attributing the wrong theory to Darwin, because he supposed that
we have got our own theory.
A monkey would change into a man, but in the same way as you can breed dogs and things like that, you can obviously change their form. That happens occasionally in nature from some special ways that the monkeys breed.
But a human being and a monkey, just like a cow and a horse, you will never get a horse from a cow, no matter how you breed them.
Well, horse and cow, it's possible that over a long time, so you can keep doing that.
No.
And that horse and cow had a common ancestor.
You must do it.
And one thing is, even accepting his theory.
Well, I'm not defending it, I'm just saying.
Mix breeding, you can change to another species. Accepting this. But that you have to mix. But the nature's way, there are so many species of life. How it has happened?
According to Darwin's theory, by that very process, by animals just constantly evolving over millions of years.
But you say, your analogy is that you say, if we mix, you mix. Mm-hmm. But who is mixing?
Ah, well, that's, nature does that, natural selection.
If you analyze, make analogy, you must bring only similar points, otherwise it's defective.
Well,
Here you bring a species of dog, another dog, and mix them. Mm. You are the worker.
Ah, yes, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So who is the worker?
Oh, well, according to Darwin's theory, yeah. It's nature.
Who is the worker?
It's nature. It's very simple, you see, yeah.
Nature is there. Just like this table, it has got this iron rod. Mm. It does not change into iron fruit automatically. Mm-hmm. You cannot say that.
Yes.
If I am a man, I take this iron rod and make it an iron fruit. I can do. But it does not make iron fruit automatically. That analogy will not do.
Well, in living things do move around and
no,
nature
living
has
a dead
great,
thing.
Has
this
great,
is a dead thing. This is a dead thing. Iron rod.
Yeah.
Iron pipe. But I am a living being. Mm-hmm. I can change this iron pipe into iron fruit. The iron pipe does not automatically become iron. Mm.
Yes, it's true.
But the iron says it automatically it is become.
Well, with living things, it's...
Just to make him understand.
The point is that...
I can see what he's saying.
Whatever it is, animal or any species of life, it appears to change, but actually someone is changing it. It's not changing.
That's possible. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It's certainly possible that there's a force outside which is making things change.
That is the whole,
that he does
that
not
is
know.
Defect in Darwin's theory. Darwin is putting forward that the matter is changing independently of any worker, of any other force.
Therefore, I said that is foolishness.
Yes. I agree. You could still have evolution, but it could be directed by an outside force.
Yes, therefore there is evolution, but it is spiritual, not material. In other words, the monkey, body is not changing to the human form, but actually the soul, or the
spirit, is transmigrating from this body to another.
Oh, I see. But how did the body start to come about in the first place? I mean, they were just created, huh? In the first place, how did human bodies arise?
You have no experience.
Oh yes, but but
how your body is created?
Yeah, but in the very beginning, well, that was some
very beginning. Yes, very beginning. We accept God. Mm. God is therefore called the original Father. Mm. Is that any wrong?
No, that's not splendid. That's a good story.
Yes. Yeah. Very good. Just like I have got my Father, so it is a fact. My father has got a father. So he has got father, he has got to come out to the original father. Who has no father, but he is original father. That is God. But you have to accept it, that there is somebody, living entity, who is the original father. That you have to accept.
But that doesn't seem to make any difference to the way one behaves in the world. See, in your... the practice of Krishna consciousness, as you have, the practice and the practice, there seem to be two parts. There's one part which is about how to behave, and there's another part which is how the world is, or how the universe is, or how things came to be.
Yeah.
And it seems to be that these two are not necessarily to be connected. I see, for you it's very important that they are, but it seems to make difference to me
whether
evolution exists or not, or whether how human beings started. That seems to make no difference at all. Mm. What seems to matter is how to live, and how to behave, and how to behave towards each other. Mm. I can understand that it's a good thing to be a vegetarian, for example. See,
how to behave,
not to get.
If I do not know what is the ultimate goal of life, then where is the question of behave?
I can see that the ultimate goal of life is very important, but what about the history? That doesn't seem to be important. Or the theory of how evolution occurs.
History can give you the statement of a few years, but creation is not like that. It is eternal. So you cannot give eternal evidences by your historical method. That is not possible.
What he's saying is that one way or another, history, regardless of what the history was, is an irrelevant subject. That history does not seem a relevant subject. Whether we evolved or whether we were created does not seem important to him. But how we behave seems important to him.
But thing is that he is also created. How he can say, he can remain aloof from creation. He is created by father and mother. How you can neglect this process of creation?
As
soon as you accept that you are also created being, then the intelligent person will know what is the origin of creation. That is natural. If you are not interested in the origin of creation, then you are not in perfect knowledge.
Why do you need perfect knowledge?
Yeah, perfect knowledge to become perfect.
No, I'm puzzled about how that would influence. You have a set of metaphysical theories, and some of them seem to be relevant to behavior. In other words, they would change your behavior, and they would change the way you treat other people, and that's very important. But there are other theories which you have which don't seem to make any difference to life. They're just theories. You know, it just doesn't make any.
What do you mean by behavior?
Well, if you have a theory, for example, about how all things are part of God. So if you kill something, then you're killing part of God, and that's obviously a bad thing. Now, I can understand that that theory has a relevant to behavior. It explains why you mustn't kill things. But there are all sorts of other parts of the theories that you have, which seem to have no bearing. It doesn't really matter. I mean, the nature of God, for example, it doesn't seem to make much difference. I mean,
first of all, the thing is that what is the purpose of proposing some theory of knowledge? What is the purpose? Just like somebody is putting theory of knowledge. Take Darwin. He had no necessity to put forward this theory of evolution. Why? Why he takes so much trouble and why people are taking interest in his theory? What is the idea behind it? There is no need of.
Well,
suppose if
true.
One
it
does not know the Darwin's theory, he is not suffering. There are so many hundreds and thousands of men. They do not care to know. But they are also living. Cats and dogs, they are also living. The first thing is, where is the necessity of become a man of knowledge?
I don't think it's necessary, but it seems to some people like it.
Then it is something sporting.
Sporting?
Yes, I can give some knowledge as my sporting, as my whims.
Yeah.
Is that the aim of knowledge?
For some people, it is. Some people just like.
Some people, if you bring some people, there are some people rascal, some people very nice. Then it is very difficult. We have to generalize. Do you think the knowledge is required for some people, not for all?
Sorry, I don't understand.
Do you think that a man should be man of knowledge only for himself, not for others?
I think there are different kinds of knowledge. Some knowledge everybody should have,
but,
and some knowledge is... Not everybody can know everything.
My point is what is the purpose of acquiring knowledge?
It varies. Sometimes it's to know how to live.
It may vary. Just like we are eating. You are eating something, I'm eating something. But eating is necessary. You cannot say that eating is not necessary. So you may be interested in particular type of knowledge. I may be interested. But whether knowledge is essential for us or not.
Well, some knowledge is essential.
Anyway, some knowledge is also knowledge.
Yeah.
That you cannot deny.
Yeah.
So knowledge is essential. You have to accept. Then what is the ultimate goal of essential knowledge? That comes. Suppose I am the whole thing. Somebody is studying my hand. This is also knowledge. Somebody is studying my leg. So there are different parts of my body. But what is the ultimate goal of such knowledge? Then we must know whose hand, whose leg, whose head, and that is essential knowledge. Knowledge is essential. Somebody is simply partially studying a part of that essential knowledge. But the aim should be how to come to that complete knowledge, which is called absolute knowledge.
Hmm. I can see that, yes. I can see that's true, yes.
Yes.
But yes, how to come to that knowledge?
Absolute knowledge, yes.
But there seem to me to be many routes to that knowledge, you know, and you seem to deny that.
No, many groups maybe, but we have to know which is right.
Yes.
That is my business.
Yes.
When I want to purchase something, many sellers will come. Everyone will say, yeah, here is sir, very nice. So it depends on me how to select the nice.
Yeah.
That is me. It depends on me, on my intelligence.
It's not just a matter of intelligence, it seems. Because
no, it is a matter of intelligence. It's like when you go to purchase something from the store, mm. The storekeeper will give you varieties of gold. And you have to select. Yes, this is right.
Yeah, but there are, you see, in the case of going to a stall, you have a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah.
There is not necessarily one single thing which is the best one, because there you might go there.
No,
and
no.
Some people, like, you're choosing pears, you see. Some people might like soft pears, and some people might like hard pears, and some people might like brown pears, and others like yellow pears. And there is no best pear, you see. There are particular ones. There are obviously bad pears and good pears, but of many different kinds, you know. And you pick the one that you like, and it depends on, to some extent, what you're looking for. And then there will be many pairs which are equally good.
But if there is something that if you get that knowledge, or you get that thing, you can get all other things automatically. Is it not intelligence to pick up that knowledge?
If it existed, yes.
Yes,
if
it exists. Okay. It exists. That is intelligence. Mm-hmm. Just like there is a tree in your house. So the tree has got so many branches, twigs, leaves, flowers, fruits. So if somebody says, no, I like to pour water on the fruits. If somebody says, no, I like to pour onto the leaves. And somebody says, I twigs, this is different. But if somebody knows to water everything at a time, who is intelligent?
Well, it depends. I don't know what the best thing
is. No, first of all, you answer this.
No,
so,
it's not, the analogy is not... not
why not analogy? You have to understand by analogy. You gave me analogy.
Yes, sure. Yeah.
And without analogy, how can you make progress?
Well, I would be in the position of somebody not knowing about trees, and I would see a lot of people, and they would all have a particular theory about how it is best to water the
trees. This is the way going on. The whole cosmic manifestation, that is described in the Bhagavad Gita, Vishwaroop. It's like I am a paw. So I've got many parts. The fingers are there, the hairs are there, the nails are there. So many things. If you make analytical study, the anatomy or physiology, you will get so many parts in your marrow. So this body, somebody is studying, a psychologist. He is simply studying the brain. Somebody is physiologist. Somebody is biologist. The same center is the body. Center is the body. They have made so many departmental knowledge. But if there is any such process to know what is this body, then is it not possible to know everything? Jasmin vijnana, that is the basic instruction. Jasmin vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavanti. If you understand the absolute truth, then other relative truths become automatically known. So those who are interested with the relative truth, they are intelligent. Or one is interested in the absolute truth, he is intelligent.
It just seems to be a particular problem to
yeah.
find one's way among lots of different groups that express themselves.
Yeah.
in exactly the way that you do. Because there are very many, and that's
They are busy with the relative truth.
Yeah, but they all say absolute truth.
There is a process of knowing the absolute truth. Mm. So if you can understand the absolute truth, the relative truths become automatically known. This is basic enough. Jasmin vijñāti sarva-vedam vijñātam bhavanti. By knowing the absolute truth, just like, take another example, analogy. In the mathematics, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0. So if you simply learn this, then you learn the whole mathematics. Because whatever you write in mathematics is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. In this way, that way, and just say plus, minus, division. But they are nothing but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You simply make different angle of vision of starting. But the figures are the same. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Everything else is simply combination.
That's all.
Yeah. But it's interesting. I can explain that.
Now. Similarly, we understand the absolute truth in this way, in the Bhagavad Gita. Let's find out. Bhumi rāpanalo vāyu khaṅgamano buddhire vacu. Seventh chapter. Bhumi bhyaichi vema.
Bhumi apo nalo vayu kamano buddhi eva cha ahankara iti yamme bina prakriti ashtatha.
Bina prakriti me ashtatha, yes.
Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego. Altogether these eight comprise my separated material energies.
Yes. Now this is the whole composition of the whole material world. These eight elements, earth, water, fire, air, sky, this is gross, and mind, intelligence, ego, sakti. So the whole material, whole cosmic manifestation is a combination of these eight things. Just like the same. Analyzing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Do you think that's the only way to describe it? You think there could be an indefinite number of equivalent ways to describe it?
No, whatever you can take. Suppose you are what is called soil expert. The soil expert means you are studying the earth, that's all. You may be interested in light and heat. So, light and heat is fire. You're studying fire. You're studying electricity. No, you're studying fire. You're studying gas. It's a combination of water and fire. So, you cannot go out of these elements. You cannot go out of these elements. Whatever you may be expert in particular line, but you are bound within these eight elements. That's all.
But
if you are a psychologist, that means intelligence or mind, that is stated, mana, buddhi, ahankara. So you cannot go outside. So here, Krishna or God says, these eight elements are my energy, separated energy. Separated energy means just like it is being recorded in the Tripitaka. But when it will replant, it will speak exactly like me. The same sound, same everything. But I am not there. That is my separate. This is the example of separated energy. Similarly, all these eight elements, they have come from the original source, God. And they are acting differently. So if I know God, I can know that these are different energies of God. That's all. Therefore, my knowledge in God, if it is perfect, then I can understand perfectly all these material energies.
That's an example of what I was saying earlier, about it doesn't seem to be necessary to have that particular
there's
theory
no
or way of describing
no
the world, you know, to behave.
There is no
properly.
Necessity. No. Your real necessity is the absolute, where from these things have come. That is your real necessity.
And to understand the purpose of life, I think that's...
That is the purpose of life,
yeah.
Because that is the purpose of human life especially, not all. Cats and dogs, they cannot understand. A human being can understand. Therefore, a human being's aim of life is to understand God.
That's a very good answer.
Yes. And if he understands God, he understands everything. Just like we speak with so many scientists, psychologists, and metaphysicists, and chemists, but we talk with them. Because we know the central point. Therefore we can detect what is the wrong interference theory.
Can you use it for anything? Can you use it to detect what's wrong in any theory?
Huh? Any theory.
Yeah.
Any theory. Because you know the central point.
So you should be able to use it to predict things. You should be able to use it to...
What is the use of prediction? Prediction we can also predict.
Yeah.
Predict just like, I can predict, you'll die. Is that prediction? If I say you will die, is that prediction? Everyone knows. Or if I say, in the month of January, there will be snowfall. Is that prediction?
Well, you might have a warm January.
Yeah, okay. It is simply experience. And we can experience from the book. That's our point of view. We take the perfect knowledge from the perfect, everything is there perfect. We take knowledge that the soul is not destroyed after the destruction of the body. But that's a fact.
What happens to it?
Huh?
What happens to the soul after the death of the body?
You have to accept another body out of these so many varieties of body.
Immediately?
Yes, immediately. Immediately, like this. If the example is given, just like you are walking. So, when you fix up your leg in right place, then you take up this leg. Not before that.
What happens with...
So, when sometimes a man remains in coma, that means what kind of life he'll have to accept that is being just by higher superior authority. And as if a settler, he leaves this body and enters it. That is transmigration of the soul. Karmanada yunatren. Just like there is a judgment is going on in the High Court. So, what will be the next stage? So as the judgment is given, he must go to the prison and suffer so many days or so many months. Immediately he leaves this, goes there. That's all. But these rascals do not believe that there is a judge and there is judgment, there is life after death. Therefore I say they are rascals. I don't say, I mean whimsically. Because they are misleading, therefore they are rascals. So many human beings are misleading by false knowledge. How much disservice they are doing, they do not know. by giving false knowledge, misleading people. Andhaja Thandivi Punya, a blind man is giving lead to thousands of blind men. What is the result? All of them will fall into ditch. What is going on? So our policy is to accept perfect knowledge from the Supreme Perfect. That is perfect. Then we get, if that get knowledge, perfect knowledge, then we become perfect. Because man is imperfect or perfect on account of knowledge. See, one has got perfect knowledge, he is perfect. One has got imperfect knowledge, he is imperfect. Because my existence as living entity, I am cognizant, I want knowledge. So if my knowledge is perfect, then I am perfect. And if my knowledge is imperfect, then I'm imperfect. Just like they do not know that the soul is there and the soul is transmigrating from another, one body to another, they do not know.
How many people are there with perfect knowledge?
Anyone can become, provided he takes the perfect knowledge.
How long does that take?
It takes immediately. If you are really serious, it takes immediately. Krishna says, sarva-dharmān paritrajya māmekam saranam vraja aṁtāna sarva-pāpibhya-mokkhaśyā. Māsucha. Krishna says, God says, that you simply surrender them to me. I give you protection from all imperfection. So how long it takes? A second. You simply surrender to Krishna and immediately a perfect life begins. Now, if you keep yourself surrendered, then you, on and on, your life becomes perfect, 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 more, absolute perfect. Tesham sadhidriptanam bhajatam priti-purvakam buddhi-yogam tadanitam jinamam upayankiti. First of all, you have to accept this principle. Then you become immediately, your perfection life begins. Sriyakkairava-chandrika-vitaranam vidyavadu-jeevanam anandam-divardhanam pratipadam purnamita-svadhanam parang-vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. You can explain this verse. Chaitanya-dharpana-marjanam.
This is the first verse of the verses composed by Lord Chaitanya, who began this movement in his present form 500 years ago. The Vedas say he's an incarnation of Krishna himself. And the verse...
The Vedas 500 years ago?
Predicted his coming and said that he would be actually Krishna himself. So he didn't write except a few selected verses. This is the first verse. And the translation is all glories to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, chanting of the names of the Lord. Because his chanting will cleanse the heart of all the dust that has accumulated there for years together. In other words, all the material conditioning that's been acquired from births and deaths is cleansed by the transcendental sound. And in this way, the fire of conditional life, or repeated birth and death, is extinguished. And the troubles of this material life, summing up in the cycle of birth and death, is likened to being in a blazing fire condition of existence. He says it is the life of all transcendental knowledge, this chanting. It brings it to life, the whole process. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss by bringing more and more souls into it. And it helps us all to have a taste of the full nectar for which we are always anxious. Everybody's always anxious to enjoy fully, but he does not experience full enjoyment because he's not linked with the source, which is Krishna. The chanting forms an ingredient link. And He helps us have a taste of the full nectar for which we are always anxious. This is the verse. So this, for
Vidyāva the jīvanam, the reservoir of knowledge, Vidyāva the jīvanam, ānandāma jīvanam, increasing spiritual beliefs, then all perfectness, all these things can be achieved only by Paramvijayati, Sri Krishna. The process is very simple.
What would one do it in order to? First of all, you can just chant the name. That seems to be the thing. But then there are some rules of behavior that one has to.
No, in the chanting of this Mahamantra Hare Krishna, there is no rule. You can chant without following any rule. There is no such thing. You simply chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. That's all. God has given you the tongue. So you can chant Hare Krishna without any difficulty, without any loss. But why don't you try it, if there is any gain?
Yeah, I'll try it. Why? Are there any particular times of the day?
No. Any time. Simply you try to chant always.
Now what is the full chant?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. You can give in writing.
I think I remember, yeah. I think I can remember. Mm-hmm.
It's 16 words. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Four. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, 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 Ram, Hare, Ram, 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 Hare, Hare. Actually, three words. They are adjusted in 16 words.
What does Hare mean?
Hare means, oh, the energy of God. There are two things, God and His energy. Just like fire. Fire itself and its energy. Is it not? Two things, sir. Is it not? Fire itself and its energy. Heat or light, whatever you call. So, similarly, God, we cannot see at the present moment because we are materially dull, blind. We cannot see God. Therefore, common man cannot understand what is God. But he can see and feel his energy. It's like the sun planet. It is not possible to go there. But you can feel the energy of the sun planet, the sunshine. Any common man can understand. But it is a fact that sun sign is not important. The sun is important. That from the energy is coming. Is it not? Similarly, whatever we are seeing, that is already explained. Bhumi, Rapan, Olamaya, this material world. This is simply energy of God. So Hare means, oh, the energy of God.
Rama?
And Rama means the God Himself. Because there are two things, God and His energy. There is no three things. Actually, there is one thing, only God. Without God, there is no energy. Therefore, He is absolute. But for our experience, we can understand God is there, we cannot see God. Therefore, we have to go through the energy. If you want to go to the sun planet, you must go through the sunshine. Therefore, we offer our prayers to the energy also, that is Hare. Not only God, but His energy. Hare Krishna means the Supreme, the all attract. We are also energy of God. So Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So simply pray, yeah, oh, the energy of God, oh God, kindly accepting this. Simple thing.
Delightful.
You just say, a child cries, mother, take me on your lap. The mother will take. Right. You have to cry. That's all. Mother wants to see how much the child is anxious for me. As soon as mother sees all this, he's very much anxious. All right, come on, let's. He'll give up all other business, take the son on the lap. Similarly, we have to become a little eager. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jugaitamanimishan, eagerness. Oh, one moment is just like 12 years. 12 years. Juga means 12 years. Jugaitamanimishan. Chakshusaprabhishaitam. The torrents of rain of my tears. Sunnāyitaṁ jagat-sarvam, I will find everything bigger. Govinda virāyana, without Krishna, without God. This is eagerness. When you become eager like that, God will reveal, yes, come on. Here I am. What is there? Simply he waits to see how much eager you are. But our eagerness is attracted by this material energy, illusion. We are engaged in studying physics, chemistry, and so many things, other things, politics, sociology, and biology, this logic, that's all. We are thinking we shall be happy, being attracted by the different varieties of energy. Therefore we pray to the energy, don't put me into illusion. This is an illusion. What will do? Suppose you become a great physicist, does it, even Professor Einstein, does it mean that you are free from death? Has all the scientists discovered something? Yes, I am the greatest scientist, Nobel Prize winner. There will be no more death. Where is that scientist? There will be no more disease. We have manufactured million types of best medicine, but can you stop disease? No, sir. So this is intelligence. So what is the use of cultivating this knowledge? The real problem is there, birth, death, old age and disease. How to get out of this? They do not know. They're simply theorizing. This theory, that theory, that theory, that theory. What is the value of all these theories? You are compelled by nature. You are theoretician. As soon as nature will come, please get out from this platform. You have no theory. Finish all your knowledge. They are not thinking of that. They are not thinking of that. So what is the value of my theories? The real problems are there. And that is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Janamattu jarabhya jidukhu dhushana. This is real knowledge. That we are theorizing in so many ways, but we must always put forward before us, here is birth, here is death, here is old age and disease.
The author has helped you to deal with those problems.
Yeah. Then I shall be serious. How to solve these problems? And that is also stated in Bhagavad Gita, that if you simply try to understand the Absolute Truth, Krishna, then immediately you get out of the clutches of death. Get out of clutches of death means you get out of clutches of birth also. Because where there is birth, there is death. If there is no death, then there is no birth. And if there is no birth, there is no disease, there is no old age. So Bhagavad Gita says that janmam karmam cha divyam me janati tattvam tattadiham punarjanmanaiti. Anyone who simply understands Krishna and his activities, then he immediately becomes free from rebirth. Tattadiham, so this body you have got, you have to give it up. But after giving up this body, I'm not transmigrating to another material body. I'm going directly to the spiritual world. Then there is no birth, death, old age and disease. Because as spirit soul, we have no birth, death, old age and disease. It is the body, the material body. So there is no such knowledge throughout the whole world, university. They are not busy for acquiring this knowledge. Where is Samson?
You must excuse me, I have to go. I have to go home.
You have to go? Why?
I was expecting back.
Huh?
My lady friend. She was expecting me back at about
10 o'clock.
So your lady friend will give you protection?
Yeah.
From birth, death, old age, and this?
Well,
maybe, maybe not.
So we can give you protection.
Yeah.
So I don't see him anyway.
Well, I shall try
my chanting. I shall do it. It's been very interesting. Thank you very much for giving me so much of your time.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Please come again.
Yeah, we must. I think you've got something very nice going on.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.